Excuse me, I've had a challenging week, so to speak. I haven't felt very good. And so every now and then, if I need to take a nip off the jug, you'll know why. My throat hurts, my throat is dry, but I'm glad that we are here together to worship the Lord. And I haven't, in my not feeling so good this week, I've been lazy as well. I've done very little. Moped around feeling sorry for myself, wondering what to preach on. And I was here one morning praying. Time was running out, and I was praying and asking God to help me understand what I should share. And typically I do not refer back to old messages, but this time I did. I've got 7 years worth of messages, and I don't typically refer back to them. I keep them, and I may use same scripture, but because I was feeling poorly and feeling lazy, I referred back to a message I shared 5 years ago this holiday season. And so if you were here 5 years ago and have a very good memory, you will have heard this before. However, on the first service, I asked them if they remember what I preached on last week, and they didn't, so you probably don't remember this either. Let me just invite us to think, though, about something. We get ready for Christmas, right? Typically, that's something we all do. And what is on my heart, again, is that same idea, if you will, that same subject matter as was 5 years ago when I ask myself and I ask us, are we ready, though, not just for this Advent season, but the Advent season when Jesus will return? He's coming back. Amen? He's coming back. The Bible is real clear about that. And it is imperative that not just the church is ready for His return, but that people are ready for Jesus' return. And so this is on my heart this morning, and I'm going to share from you from Matthew 24, because Jesus said in this story emphatically, be ready. And so, I'm going to read from you from the... let me just throw in one more tidbit. I was looking through, as I was looking through old notes, I also found an old bulletin. This bulletin will be 5 years old here in a week or two. And this particular bulletin, excuse me, had... 7-8 names on it, and a couple of subjects. The tsunami was one of them 5 years ago. Had 7-8 names on it. 8, I guess. And 7 of those people are no longer here. They're no longer on earth. They're gone. They're passed away. Which reminds me again of the topic that I have chosen today, and I have shared before, is, are we really ready for His next coming? Or are we really ready for that day when we will be ushered into eternity? I think that was remarkable and striking and interesting, to say the least. But as I glanced at this just the other day, I thought, man, oh man, none of these people are with us anymore. This is only 5 years ago. And I think it'd be quite safe to say that some of us won't be here next year. If He does not return, which I believe He could return at any moment, it is safe to say that some of us may not be here next Christmas. Which begs the question, am I ready? I can get ready for Christmas. I can get my presents bought. And I can do what I got to do. But am I ready for the real advent of Christ when He comes again? Because if I'm not ready, brothers and sisters, at that point, it's too late. And so Jesus, in His story here in Matthew 24, you know, early on in the chapter, His disciples came to Him and they said to Him, tell us, when will this be? Tell us about the signs of the end of the age. And so He takes some time in Matthew 24 explaining some of these things, talking about the coming of the Son of Man. And in verse 36, He gets to this. Let's follow along together. But about the day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other one left, will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, that's the word that the New Revised Standard uses, but be alert, be on guard, be aware. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And so as I think of that, I think again of what I just said. We can prepare for things in life, and we do, whether it's the next job or schooling or graduation or weddings or Christmas. We prepare for things. And Jesus said we must take time to get ready for the return of Christ. We must be ready, because if we are not ready, guess what? He's clear in these chapters. We're not ready, brothers and sisters. We're not ready. We're not going. We're not going to be part of his kingdom if we're not ready when he comes back. Yes, I've heard the arguments, and so have you. Well, Jim, I got a lot of time. Well, do we? I've done 11 funerals this year already. And as I look at this bulletin, and it's only 5 years old, none of them are left. One person on there is left. Do we have lots of time to get ready? And so Jesus is inviting his listeners in Matthew 24, as he's inviting us, be ready, because it could be today. Why would I want to gamble about tomorrow when I don't know if tomorrow is coming? He says to his disciples, he said to these people listening, be ready, because you don't know when he's going to come up. Matter of fact, he is going to come at an unexpected hour. And so I want to challenge us this morning. You know, we started getting ready, I suspect. Some of us started getting ready, maybe. Anyway, I didn't, but I'm not too proactive when it comes to Christmas. Kind of reactive, mostly. But I suspect some of you started on Black Friday. Am I right? Some of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but some of you did. And like I told the earlier service, I tried that once too. That was enough. I was cured. But we start preparing, don't we? We prepare for the gifts that we put under our little trees or under by our fireplace or whatever we do. We prepare for the feast that we will have together. We prepare for the fellowship and family coming. We prepare for the celebration. Jesus said we need to be preparing for that great celebration. He said to us emphatically, we need to prepare for the gift that God has given to us, which is in Christ Jesus alone. We need to prepare for the feast that will be ours when he welcomes us home into heaven. We need to prepare for the fellowship and the celebration to be with the Almighty forever. We need to prepare for that too, don't we? We need to prepare for the second coming of Christ, because it could be at any moment. We spend time in preparation for life, and that's good. We need to. We also need to be ready. He is clear in verse 36, the hour, but about the hour and day no one knows. He is clear in verse 44 that says, therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. I mentioned earlier, and I've been thinking about this because I've read a lot of books lately, some of them about the second coming, and I've read Revelation lately. And you know, we talk about the millennial reign, we talk about pre-trib and post-trib and mid-trib and all that stuff. And if you don't know what I mean, well, I'm talking about when he will return. But when we talk about, am I going to have any warnings, whether it's mid-trib or post-trib, he is very, very clear. He's coming when you don't expect it. He's coming when the world has got their eyes set on the next activity or the next paycheck or something else, when we are not looking and not waiting or anticipating. He says very clearly, you got to be ready, because I'm coming when you're not looking, when you're not expecting it. And so he tells us to prepare. Now, how are we going to be? How is life going to be? He gives us a little bit about that too in verses 37 to 39, when he refers to excuse me, the days of Noah. This is really embarrassing to have to have my whistle every few minutes. Or we could just quit. Should we do that? No. Okay. All right. He's talking about the days of Noah. And he said, just like it was then, for as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. What does he mean? As the days. Well, Jim, you say, Jim, well, wasn't it an evil time? Yes, it was. And of course, we've got a few issues in today's society too. But he goes on. He says, for as in those days before the flood, they are eating and they are drinking and they are marrying and giving in marriage, and until that day that Noah entered the ark. And I believe more than anything else what he's talking about, we're just going about everyday life. We're just doing life. Doing what we do. We eat, we drink, we go to school, we go to work, we get married, we go to church. We're just going about life. And the thing that he's stating here, though, they were so much into going about life, they didn't get ready for when the flood came and wiped them all out. They're just going about daily life. And they knew nothing, the Bible says, until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. People. Everyday people. You and I, our co-workers, our family, everyday people going about life, and all of a sudden, he's going to be here. He's gonna split the eastern sky, as the one song says. The archangel will, the trumpet of God will sound, the Bible says, and the archangel will shout, and there we will behold him. The entire earth will see him. He's coming without warning. As in the days of Noah. You say, well, Jim, he built the boat for 100 years. Yes, he did. And they paid no attention to it. He built there and he labored there and probably mentioned to them that God is going to judge us. He probably did. And yet they were going about everyday business. And I'm not saying climb up on the rooftop of the church and hang out there till he comes. I'm not saying that. I am saying, though, be ready in your spirit. Be ready in your soul, because he's going to come at a time when we're not expecting it. And when he comes, brothers and sisters, if we have not surrendered wholly to him as Lord, to Jesus Christ as Lord, we will fall into the crowd. This, it says, the Bible talks about, and they knew nothing until the flood come and swept them all away. He says, be ready. He's coming back. We get kind of wrapped up in the happenings of life. I know that because I have been there too. And the busyness of it, doing what we need to do. We need to be responsible after all. The Bible says that. But too often times we're doing that, walking through life, being in busyness of life, being in our doing our own thing, and we haven't made the preparation for eternity. You say, Jim, well, I have to provide. Yes, you do. I have to eat. Yes, we do. You say, well, I have to have some social life. Sure, why not? I have to have some fun in life. Well, yes, sure, we can have that too, but not at the expense of not getting ready for eternity. You see the difference? We need to go about daily business. Yes, we need to be providers, and we need to be involved in life. But we also need to be ready for when He comes again. These are all true statements that He's talking about, these times of Noah. But they were just going through life, and all of a sudden it was too late. It was too late. We can plan for Christmas. We can plan for graduation. We can plan for the next holiday or the next big event. Have we planned for when Jesus comes back? Because if we have not made that plan, friends, we are not ready to go to heaven. And if we're not ready to go to heaven, we're going to hell. We need to be ready, Jesus said. Radio pastor that I listened to a while ago spoke on this very subject of those outside the ark. And he said for years they laughed at Noah. People are laughing at Christianity today too. He said people mocked Noah for years. People are mocking Christianity today, even getting the label right-wing extremists, because we're willing to follow Jesus, because we're willing to make preparations for His second return. But when God ushered Noah and his family into the ark, and God closed the door, and the rains began to pour down, their mocking turned to mourning. It was too late. And that will happen again, friends. Jesus will return again. It may be in our lifetimes. It may be at any moment. And if we are not ready, our mocking of, well, I've got lots of time, Jim, or I think I'll make her, Jim, or I've worked this or I've done that, it's too late. Our mocking then will turn to mourning, because He will be here and we will not have made preparation and been ready. There's a whole bunch of society today, friends, and maybe some of us. I've been there myself. I'm ready today, praise God. But there's a whole bunch of society today. We're wrapped up and involved in everyday life and what we're doing and this and that, and lifestyles and providing and all this stuff, and we've forgotten to get ready for the real advent of Christ, for the second return of Christ. You say, Jim, how are we going to do that? It's really, really simple. You know, we celebrate the birth of this baby at Christmas, don't we? He didn't stay as a baby. He grew to be our teacher, but He grew to be our Savior. And it's real, real simple to get ready for the second return of Christ, is to put your faith in Him alone. We are saved by grace alone through faith in Christ alone. We can prepare for Christmas. We need to prepare for when He's coming again. And it could be at any moment. I might have said this already. I can't remember if I said it here or said it first service. I think I said it both. I'll say it again. We may not, some of us may not be here next Christmas. So then we got to ask ourselves, am I ready if He returns, or if I'm not here next Christmas because my life has ended? This is fairly serious stuff, folks. We're talking about eternity. And I know Christmas is a wonderful time, and I know it's a wonderful season to be together and to be festive and feasting and fellowship and all that. And life is fun. Life is wonderful. But if we haven't made preparations for heaven, it's going to be too late. When God returns, when Jesus returns, when the Father says it's time, Christ is going to return for a holy church. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. Without holiness, no one will see God. And so let me ask you today as we close, friends, do you know Him today? Do you know that you're ready? Because if we don't know for sure, absolutely sure, that we are ready for His return, even if it were today, we need to make preparations or it'll be too late. We're going to go to communion, but we're going to take a little bit of time to pause and examine ourselves in preparation for communion. But if you're here this morning, friends, I'm so glad that you are. If you're here this morning and you're not sure you are ready because you have claimed the name of Jesus as Lord, you've surrendered it all to Him, I'd encourage you to do it today. Tomorrow may be too late. Next Christmas may be too late. And so as we bow in quiet submission to the Lord, examining ourselves to prepare for the communion table, let us also ask ourselves the question, am I ready? And if I'm not ready, simply surrender yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Invite Jesus to take control of your life. Repent before Him and invite Him to take control of your lives. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith, your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's bow in quiet prayer. Father, we thank you again for your provision called Jesus. We thank you again for this Christmas season. We thank you that we can celebrate the coming of the Messiah, a little baby in the manger, yes, but Lord, Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords. And as we are reminded of that this Christmas season, we're also reminded of this on this communion day, of His death and resurrection, and what it is He did for us. And so as we participate together, Father, in the communion table, taking the bread indicating His broken body, taking the cup indicating His blood that was shed for our sin, help us to do this in remembrance of what it is He has done for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what it is you have done for us. You have made it possible for our sins to be whiter than snow, to be gone from us as far as the east is from the west. And so, Father, thank you for this celebration called communion. Thank you for Jesus, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.